In the second part of this podcast, just for Bump 2 subscribers, Thane and I explore the ideas of eternity, peace, and we come back to the Buddhist idea of the middle way. This is a conversation that will leave you thinking and wanting more. I want to go back to your use of the word eternal. And I'm fascinated by this idea of eternity. I've experienced it in numerous places. I remember once in New Mexico getting out of the car at, what's it called now? Plaza Bianca, which was painted by Georgia O'Keeffe. It's these huge, you know, vertical rocks. They're very stunning.
Right, okay.
And I got out of the car, and it was so quiet. All you could hear was the wind. And there was a sense of the eternal in the wind.
Yeah.
And in those rocks, which are not eternal because they'll be worn down by time. But that same sense of eternity. And I wonder if once we have those experiences, can we recreate them? Does the experience lend itself to or finding it yet again?
Interesting question. Yeah, I mean, now this is the idea of the eternal, certainly in Zen Buddhism, which is a sort of Japanese form of Buddhism, which goes back 800 years or more. This idea that there is something eternal. As I say, and it's often the Buddha is highlighted as an unformed and undying, and someone else, and it's something to refer to as the eternal. That something is eternal, that we can all experience it. And I think the moments that you refer to, that sudden flash, or you know, when you're on the aeroplane, or that example you just gave just now with the rocks and the Georgia O'Keeffe painting, there's moments where it just stops you in your tracks, and you really feel that. And I think they happen periodically, but not very often. I think, yeah, from my experience, they've happened, you know, 4 or 5 flashes like that. You're just sort of aware of it. And I think you just enjoy them when they happen and use them as, use them to sort of spur you on and keep going. I think quite often in life, it's not you meditate, you go on with your daily practice, and actually feels more mundane than that. There's just moments like that. I don't think you can, in my experience anyway, that you can necessarily replicate them just all the time. But they're really enjoyable when they do happen. But I do get a sense that just by continual practice, whatever your practice is daily, you do touch upon that, maybe not to the same extent, but this eternal feeling, this feeling below the self, below these ideas, there's always a joy or a happiness. And by that, I don't mean like an ecstatic joy, just as a pleasantness to life that I feel could always be there. I hope to face death like that, to be honest with you. Now, I know I've been ill. I know you've been very ill, and you've told me in the past, but the Buddhists will talk about if you can in touch with the eternal, potentially fear could drop away. Now, I wouldn't be so grandiose to say I'll have no fear when I die, but it's living life without fear, because everything you need is actually just in this moment. And this idea of the eternal, you mentioned a painting by Georgia O'Keeffe, but there's a great wave painting. I think it's a Japanese painting. I think some of them are in America now, but you see the wave. And often I quite like that concept. I've even got a couple of T-shirts with a great wave on it. And its idea being that the wave is like my life or your life. When the wave crashes down, so my life expires, it goes back into the ocean. And it's eternal. And the Thich Nhat Hanh, a famous Buddhist teacher who's from my same tradition as me, Soto Zen, which you and many of your listeners might have heard of Thich Nhat Hanh, he talks about that, you know, that everything's eternal. So you're drinking tea and how, you know, tea, the water in the tea, shortly before, not only a few days ago, may have been a cloud, you know. Before it was a cloud, it may have been the sea. And you know, it's maybe gone through this cycle many, many times, you know. And so when you think about it, everything's connected. Everything's almost eternal in many ways, you know. I find that quite, somehow you can understand it intellectually, but also you need to understand it intuitively as well. So Yeah, so Buddhism often talks about you're never born and you never die in a way, because before you were born, you and I, we were part of this eternal flow of life anyway. We'll continue after it as well. You know, I think Thich Nhat Hanh talks about, you know, after his death, he's dead now, returning to the soil and, you know, been used as energy for trees and other plants. And in a way, we're all part of this eternal flow. If you really get into it, you know.
No, that's very true. And actually, that's a lovely way to look at it. I think in this lifetime, part of the access to the eternal is getting into flow, you know, where you're familiar with the concept of flow. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, it's utterly addictive. I think that's one reason why people get into extreme sports. Mm. You're into the flow, and it's such an amazing place to be. But I think you can experience flow in everyday life. It's a matter of being present. And I guess that's one of the things I would like to learn to cultivate more, because it's such a wonderful way to live. It's such an amazing experience to be in flow.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I've never been an extreme sportsman. I've done sort of hiking and a lot of hiking. I think some of these people must really be in the moment, you know, sort of fully focused on what they're doing. And it must be, you know, they must really feel that flow, I think, at times. But certainly the Zen Buddhist approach to life is that enlightenment isn't to be found in the future on a mystical mountain top. It's actually to be found here and now in everyday things. And something I take away, I was in the monastery last week for a week, and the monks just, you know, so I found myself really enjoying cleaning the toilets. Bizarrely, it was a job I got. But you just sort of, you're left to do it on your own, and you're given instructions how to do it. And same way when you're in the monastery, and you're in the kitchen, you chop vegetables a certain way, and the monks sort of make sure you do it a certain way, and cut the vegetables a certain size, and it's certainly pointing towards these things, like you said there, you know, the extreme sports are in the flow, but it can be found in everyday things. And I think that because our minds are so much in the future or the past, people actually miss out on a lot of their life, and just doing normal mundane things can often be quite joyful. I don't mean ecstatic, but just a joy, just going about your house, tidying things up and dealing with people or at your work. I think these things can actually have a joy to them. I think a lot, if you're not present to them, you'll never see.
Oh, I know. And what a terrible thought to live your life without living it.
Yeah.
Without experiencing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way of putting it, yeah.
So to guard against that, be present.
Mm-hmm.
Be humble.
Yeah.
What else?
I would say that one of the things that have helped me is try to develop a daily practice of something that helps you to stay peaceful. And I suppose that could be different things for different people. For me, it's meditating. Try and meditate every day. I don't hold myself to sort of, you know, I have to do it every day. But generally speaking, if I meditate in the morning, bring mindfulness into my life as much as I can, the thoughts go away, bringing it back to what I'm doing. I find that daily practice almost builds up my momentum. And I think in the book, I actually say that when the main character becomes ill and he's really struggling with fatigue, he finds that the 20 years of sitting and meditation he's done before, that helps him drag himself to the meditation cushion. Just that sort of momentum that the continual practice builds up. And I think it could be other things for other people. I mean, I don't know enough about prayer, but I've certainly heard Christian friends say that can have a similar effect, and I can believe that. Yoga, Tai Chi, there's all sorts of things that people can get into. You know, maybe people can do the flying and sports, but something that helps ground you, something that brings you into this moment. And meditation certainly strikes me as a pretty good starting place. You don't have to be a Buddhist to meditate. Anybody can meditate, an atheist or people of other religions. And a few other religions talk about meditation. I don't feel any sort of wish to make people become a Buddhist at all. It's just not really part of Buddhist outlook at all. But meditation really seems to be a good way to help ground yourself. And some of the monks, I've heard them say, it's better to meditate for a minute every day rather than wait every 10 days and do an hour. Just this daily practice, it just seems to have some sort of effect where it just builds up a momentum and just keeps us grounded and reminds us every day about what's important and the way to live our life.
Personally, if I miss a day, my day seems disjointed to me. It doesn't, it just isn't right. I don't know how to explain it.
I agree with you 100%. It's occasionally, you know, you think, oh, I feel a bit different today. And you realize you're up early for a meeting and doing something. You think, you know what it is? I haven't meditated today. So I know that feeling. It's, in some ways, I think it's good to experience that because it makes you realize, occasionally, it makes you realize how important the meditation is. But yes, if I don't meditate in the morning, I feel subtly different throughout the day. And it's not as good.
Yeah, and if I don't meditate in the morning, I will stop and make time to meditate later, often, yeah. Not always, but often. Yeah. But it's not the same. There's something about that routine in the morning, and it allows me to actually pay attention to what's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Is it busy? Is it planning ahead? Is it calm? Is it excited? I mean, how am I approaching my day? How do I choose to approach my day?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. There's something about daily practice just helps to, just helps to set us in the right direction for the day is the only way I would describe it. Just there's something about, I'm with you 100%, and certainly the monks in the monastery, they get up early, they do quite long periods before the day begins. There's something about that, just, you don't have to do too long periods just to make it work, but as just an example, there's something about just starting off your day with that intention and just seeing where your mind's at allows you to bring focus, I think, to your day. And I would encourage anybody to try and develop a daily practice or whatever their thing is that allows them to be grounded.
Yeah, and I think meditation people, at least in the States, are, you know, kind of put on their garlic necklace when you talk about meditation. It's just like not cool, or they can't do it or whatever. But it can be found walking, it can be found fishing. It can be found knitting. It can be found with a newborn baby. It can be found in a million ways. It doesn't have to be, you're not contorting your body and sitting cross-legged and, you know, chanting for hours or anything like that. You can find lots of ways to meditate, because really what it has to do with is being present and not being caught up in your mind. And as a habit, that's something that is life-changing, I think.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's certainly been life-changing for me. And yeah, you're right. You can, you know, certainly mindfulness and meditation can be brought into anything. And I think, you give lots of examples there. But yeah, I think you just walk in. And I used to sell in the book, I think the main character talks about even trying to ground himself between meetings. So even in the workplace, you know, a busy meeting, and he's away to another meeting, maybe the other side of the building. Just even try to ground yourself between meetings. And you can do that, or, you know, in the moments when you mentioned, you know, looking after a young child and two children and myself, they're older now. But just even that in between times, you know, when the baby's sleeping, and just grounding yourself before it, or being at one with the baby when it's awake. Yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. Just be fully present in your life.
So, do you have any plans for? I'm sorry.
It just brings a peacefulness to our lives.
Do you have any plans for another book?
I do, actually.
Oh, tell.
Yeah, I always saw this story going on a bit further than it does in the first book. And, what I was told, though, by publishers was that nobody wants to read a really long book of a first-time author. I think one of the best examples of that is maybe J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter books. The first two are quite thin and they're thick after that. So once you develop a readership and people like your books, they're more happy to publish a longer book. So I feel the story is kind of halfway. And I feel there'll be another book that follows on from this, following on from Hamish's story, the main character. So yeah, I hope to bring it out. Well, probably be next year now. I'm about halfway through writing it. And so the story, Hamish's story, will continue. And beyond that, yeah, maybe more books as well. I'm quite keen to do a book of poetry as well. I put out a poem every morning, actually, on Twitter and on Instagram as well. So I quite like the idea of maybe a little book of poetry. But certainly the main character story is going to continue in one more book, at least.
And where will people find you on Twitter and any other social media?
Yeah, I mean, my website is just my name, thanelawrie.com, T-H-A-N-E-L-A-W-R-I-E. And from there, there's links to my social media sites. But on Twitter, I'm at BuddhistCEO. And yeah, but if you check my website, thanelawrie.com, it's got links to all my social media there as well. And I write a blog post fairly regularly on my website as well, which alternates between me just musing about Buddhist things or just life, from leadership to my latest blog post was about my stay at the monastery. And I also now give an update on what's been happening with the book. Just, probably a link to this podcast, for example, or other podcasts I've been on, or articles I've been writing about the book. So updating people. I tend to do 2 or 3 posts a month. So you can follow that as well for free if people are interested as well. So people can check that out if they're interested. And you can order a copy of the book from the website as well if you want to, whether in the US or UK, you can get access to the book there.
Thank you for listening. I hope you'll support this podcast by becoming a Bump2 subscriber. Buy us a cup of coffee. It's your support that makes this podcast and website possible. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life.